Keep on riding with us as we continue to broadcast the balance and defend the discourse from these Hip Hop Weekly studios. Welcome back to Civic Cypher. I'm your host, Ramses Ja.
He is Ramses Ja. I am Q Ward, and you are hopefully either still tuned in or just now tuning in to Civic Cypher.
Either way, we appreciate you. And we want you to stick around because we do have a lot more in store. We are going to be talking about whether or not things were better under Trump.
Okay, so I'm going to let Ramses handle this. Y'all have a good week. Yeah, y'all be cool. Peace.
No, listen, this is kind of what's going back and forth. There's a lot of goings on the internet. Black males are not voting for Biden and, you know, all kinds of stuff, right? So we're really going to have a critical examination, a data-based examination of whether or not that's true. So I implore you to stick around for that because I think we got our numbers lined up here. But before we get there, it's time to discuss BABA, Becoming a Better Ally, Baba. There's Baba, sponsored by Friends of the Movement. You can sign up for the free voter wallet from FOTMglobal.com to support Black businesses and allied businesses, as well as make an impact with your spending. Again, that's FOTMglobal.com. I'm going to read from PR Week. The short version of it is that this is a PR firm that is supporting a company that is hiring autistic people. So we really want to center the company that's hiring autistic people, but the article came from this PR Week magazine. Goblin is growing its partnership with Autonomy Works, a company that employs individuals with autism, in honor of World Autism Awareness Day. The Interpublic Group agency began working with the organization in 2022 on a pilot program that integrated people with autism into the work streams of Goblin client businesses. The initiative included work on two accounts with Goblin's healthcare practice and one within its consumer practice. Autonomy Works associates have supported the agency and its teams over the last year and a half by taking on assignments including media monitoring, social community management, project routing, and reporting, according to Goblin. As a result of the work and the integration of eight associates, the Interpublic Group agency is working to grow its partnerships so that Autonomy Works members can bring their specialized talents to more client accounts sectors, the firm said in a statement. So the short version of it is that this company, Autonomy Works, decided that, first off, the CEO, his son was autistic. He started doing a task and realized, you know what, my son would be really great at this task, right? Autonomy Works. Then they set up a program to hire people who are autistic, who really enjoy doing routine tasks and are really detail oriented and very focused. And they are able to pay these people great wages, get them a place in society, and they are centering people who really you could use that support. And I think that's a tremendous example of Absolutely. Becoming a better ally. So shout out to Autonomy Works. All right. Were things better under Trump? Okay.
All right. So I appreciate y'all being with me this week. Rams is going to take you guys home with this one because,
oh man,
that's nonsense on his face. That question is,
we
just made my stomach hurt a little bit.
So, okay. Now, what Q is talking about is for those of us who, you know what, we're not even going to talk about Black people. We're going to talk about our Mexican American brothers and sisters. We live in the Southwest of the United States. We spend all of our time in Vegas, Phoenix, California, all places that were once Mexico. The people that live here have lived here for a very long time, long before this was the United States of America. They never heard of that. They never heard of English, right? 2016, Donald Trump wins the election, campaigning on building a wall to separate Mexico from the United States. Okay, a lot of people who lived here were very concerned about that rhetoric and that divisiveness. And despite whatever policies, whatever life would have been better under Trump, our Mexican-American brothers and sisters, I should say many of our Mexican-American brothers and sisters, felt that angst living under that presidency because he was a person that was playing, you know, conservative, fearful, white voters' greatest hits. They're stealing your jobs. They're, you know, having anchor babies. They're draining the economy, on and on and on. This is what it's saying. And that rhetoric makes life very challenging for people that live in Phoenix, that live in California, that
people that live in Texas,
you know, Mexico, in the Southwest, right?
Et cetera.
So add to that the people that were supporting Trump, and Trump was saying, you know, stand back and stand by, you know, that sort of stuff. Those people, the bona fide racists that Trump never denounced, he just kind of took it all in stride. He knew who he was speaking to. He knows how to speak that coded language. Those people were
even
fired.
Asked straightforwardly to denounce these groups, he would not.
But those people were emboldened under a Trump presidency. I had never seen more racism, you know, in my adult life than under
more Trump. Overt.
Yes, overt.
Out loud.
Right, there you go.
That's straightforward, uncoded, aggressive, violent racism.
Thank you. That is, man, well said. You should write a book.
My children like yours.
Yeah.
Our former president would have loved for them to be on the other side of that wall.
Yeah.
He bragged about building. So it's a very, very personal thing to me.
Yeah. And, you know, that he doubled down a few times, you know, with the S-hole countries and what type of people he wanted migrating here. You know, and he named his white countries, and then his proposed Muslim ban from all the brown countries, all this sort of stuff, right? So this is this coded sort of language that, again, speaks to the people that are already predisposed to hating and have already sort of adopted a very divisive vantage point of how people should live their lives. So when we ask the question, were things better under Trump? Through that lens only, there are a lot of people that will say, absolutely not. And that's what Q's reaction is. And basically that, of course, things weren't better under Trump. But what we're going to do is break down some data for you. And it's not going to be exactly what you think. But the point is for us to have a critical examination of that. So one of the ways that because we've been kind of thinking about having this conversation for some time, we came across a video online where there's a gentleman who kind of sets us up to have the conversation we're about to have. So this is a video from a person named @IamTheCaptain, the spelled with two E's. I am the captain. If you want to follow his social media, and he's responding to a comment left on his page that reads, "Lord, I remember a time when a dozen eggs were $3 and gas was $1.50. Remember that? Good times. Been a good 4 years." In other words, this comment that was left on this gentleman's page was suggesting that Joe Biden's and Biden's economic policies have been very harmful, right? And things were better under a Trump presidency. And so
in the previous 4 years.
Yeah, right.
Where this person is trying to get us to believe that gas was $1.50.
Right. So let's play this video from @IamTheCaptain. And then we're going to go through and do some fact checking point by point.
This one's going to be a funny one. Lord, I remember when a dozen eggs were $3 and gas was $1.50. Remember that? Good times. Been a good 4 years. All right. So I don't think this is going to go the way that you think it is. So let's get started. All right. First off, you remember back when eggs was $3? Doesn't exactly say much about you because eggs were $3 last month in February of 2024. Also, your memory needs to be checked a little bit because the last time gas was a national average of $1.50 was back in 2003. That's right, 2003. Other than that, the closest it's come to $1.50 would be back in 2016 under President Obama. So, you can't exactly give that one to Donald Trump. I'm sorry to say, your memory is failing you, good sir.
But me? Oh, my memory's great. I remember 4 years ago like it was yesterday. 4 years ago, there was no toilet paper on the shelves. 4 years ago, there were no eggs because the supply chain had been ripped apart by the pandemic. 4 years ago, the entire country had to shut down because of a pandemic that we weren't ready for, even though our president had been briefed about it for months. A pandemic that cost this country lives, jobs, and the economy. a pandemic that we would have been ready for if President Trump hadn't been so hell-bent on deregulation that he fired the pandemic response team that President Obama had put in place. So how are we doing compared to 4 years ago today? Considering that the country was low in lockdown during a pandemic, we had refrigerated trucks that were being used as morgues, we had a president that was a ranting, hate-spewing imbecile that the entire world was laughing at while he would tell people on live television in order to save themselves from the pandemic that maybe they can consider injecting disinfectant. Where are we compared to 4 years ago? Today, people are working. Today, we are drilling oil more now than we ever have before in history. Today, the stock market is as high as it's ever been. Today, the economy is booming. Today, you're able to afford that MAGA hat, that MAGA shirt, and those gold pair of sneakers that you keep paying to Donald Trump as he keeps pushing you to pay his legal bills for the 4 indictments and 88 charges that he has going against it. Today, I think we're doing just fine, because like you said, eggs are only $3, and I know there's toilet paper on the shelves, so that way I don't have to wipe my ass with this comment. I think we're doing just fine. Can we do better? That's how we are as Americans. As Americans, we're always supposed to be striving to do better. So you, get educated. Do better. With that said, I want to thank you all for watching.
All right. So you get it. And what we're going to do is kind of break that down a bit. Now, we're going to be as fair as we know how to be. You know, integrity, journalistic integrity is very important to us on this show. So first thing was the February 2024 eggs being $3. We did fact check that. That was accurate. So, you know, speaking to that comment, that wasn't a very difficult thing. We did go back to 2003 and check the gas national average of $1.50, and that was true. Gas currently sits at $3.79 a gallon, and it was as low as $2.17 in 2020 under Trump presidency, but that had more to do with the pandemic than anything. And you're going to notice that that's going to be a theme in, you know, what we end up talking about here. The pandemic meant that no one was driving. And for those that are familiar with OPEC, I forget what it stands for, but they're like petroleum exporting countries, I think is the PEC. I don't know what the O stands for, but maybe organization or something like that. Anyway, OPEC controls a lot of the supply of oil globally. And so while the United States definitely has our own oil, a lot of times we have it in reserves in case we need to go to war for the military, you know, things like this. And so there's a degree of national security that is associated with our oil reserves, as well as how much air we're able to let out of the ball in the event that we end up in a crisis situation and OPEC has priced, you know, barrels of oil too high, right? So by having reserves, it allows us the capacity to negotiate. But when they release oil into the market and they, you know, adjust the price for us, you know, the prices fluctuate accordingly. A lot of that is beyond the control of the president, that being Trump and Joe Biden and every other president. A lot of it, not all of it, but a lot of it. And if you want the president to, you know, adjust the price of the oil, my understanding, which admittedly is not a lot, but my understanding is that one of the ways the president goes about doing that is by releasing oil from our reserves. And that allows the gas prices to ease a bit. So that's one. Did you want to jump in there?
No, sir.
Okay. All right. Then let me get this next one up then. All right. So, the next thing, 4 years ago, when he says there were no toilet paper, were no eggs, so forth. I mean, we all remember that. That doesn't really need to be fact checked. We all lived through that. There was no toilet paper. I had plenty of toilet paper and bidets. But that's because we had a nonprofit and we worked with the charity, so everyone's coming to get toilet paper from us. But yeah, so we lived through that. And one of the things that I do want to put on firmly on the former president is the response to the pandemic. Because as I mentioned, you're going to notice that the pandemic has warped a lot of the data. And as a result, people can interpret everything whatever way they want, and they're all right, right? Including Donald Trump, unfortunately. But I'm going to sit this one right at Donald Trump's feet. Quick story. Once upon a time here in Arizona, where we do our show, I was a part of a health initiative for Maricopa County. You know, I was a radio personality and needed someone with some reputation to, you know, get this initiative out, right? And as a result, I had to work with the Maricopa County Department of Public Health, and they had a liaison from the Center for Disease Control, Dr. Taylor. Dr. Taylor was a good friend of mine. We worked very well together, right? She put me on billboards all over the city, so, you know, I was cool with that. As a result, I was tapped into the CDC. Anytime I saw it as a headline, I was alert. And President Obama put together a pandemic response team. Maybe not directly, maybe it was indirectly, I'm not sure exactly, but I know that it was under kind of his watch, because that was a significant threat. Donald Trump was hell-bent on deregulation and cutting through government red tape so businesses could thrive.
And not just deregulation in general, but specifically deregulating things that the former president put in place. Let's be clear about that. Let's get rid of everything
Obama did.
So
watch this. He pulled that money back from the CDC and dismantled that pandemic response.
Fired those people. Let's be clear.
I remember seeing that article and I was like, wow. And then right before his presidency was over, we got hit with a pandemic. And it seems like a handful of people, to be fair, did make that connection. And this gentleman whose video we just saw, he did make that connection. But surprisingly few people make that connection, that we were vulnerable because of a decision he made well into his presidency. And then the pandemic hit us. But not just that. You remember all those trains get going off the tracks and derailing, and then those environmental spills and all that sort of stuff. That it was like a few of them in a row. It was like six or eight of them, if I'm not mistaken. All of that was the result of Donald Trump's deregulation as well, right? So these small communities, these mom and pop towns or whatever around the country, also suffered as a result. And they're not the only industries. And we talk about environmental racism from time to time on this show, but the truth is that deregulation disproportionately affects Black people. Please look up environmental racism and you'll understand the little bit of protections that exist often protect Black and brown
people. There's also a disproportionate effect on poor people.
That too.
Right. That's important to say, because the society has been set up in a way where there are a lot of poor Black and brown people, but poor white people get hit by these things too.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's why there is a segment of our population that hears words like white privilege and are confused by it, because they live in a society where they don't feel privileged
at all,
except those same people go to the polls and vote and lobby and organize against their own best interests, because they've been tricked into feeling like these others are responsible for the bad position that they're in when they're electing public officials to go, you know, forth on their behalf. And those people don't represent their best interests, like our former president, who convinced them that he cared about them so much and that they should build a wall to keep out the people that are coming to steal their jobs and harm their children.
So watch this. Let's keep it moving. The refrigerated trucks used as morgues, that is true. Obviously, that happened during COVID. So that was one of the things he mentioned in his video. More jobs, more drilling oil, the stock market high, economy booming. So one of the things that I can say is that it is true. 303,000 jobs were added back. This was a headline as of 3 weeks ago. But I'm going to share a bit from an article that talks about the statistics that both sides are using. Okay. This is from Politico.com, and it says, Trump is misleading you with COVID-era statistics. So is Biden. Trump and Biden are both campaigning on worked economic statistics, cherry-picking weird data from the COVID crisis. I'm going to just share a bit. You can, again, check out the article. Once again, it's at politico.com. In just a bit here. According to Donald Trump, he oversaw sky-high economic growth, soaring markets, and half-century-low unemployment. Joe Biden says Trump was the first president to preside over a net loss in jobs since Herbert Hoover. Biden boasts that his own presidency is defined by booming job growth and plunging deficits. Trump says consumers haven't felt worse in decades because of inflation. The weird thing is, they're both right about everything. And that's something that we need to keep in mind, right? It's that this data can be used to manipulate us. Now, the truth is, if it doesn't feel like your dollar goes as far as it should, you're not wrong. So when Donald Trump says the consumers, blah, 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 you know, but Joe Biden is aware of that. You know, corporations were able to take advantage of us because there was no legal framework in place during the pandemic for them to price gouge us and not have the prices, you know, level back out.
Yeah, so the word inflation is used very cleverly here when it's mostly corporate greed and price gouging.
It's shrinkflation, right? Yeah. So if it doesn't feel like that, well, what we need is more governmental regulation, not the old president, right? And one of the things that's also very true is that Donald Trump is a far worse offender. Politics is the name of the game. People want themselves to look good so that voters can vote for them. This article is not telling us anything that we don't know about any other politician.
It's telling a lot of people that they didn't know. Okay. It's not telling us anything.
Yeah, that's fair.
You have to understand there are a lot of voters that swear by the data that's presented to them in these silos.
Yeah.
And they dismiss any information that's not being given to them by the source they choose to get their information from.
Right.
So this might be straightforward information for you and I, but for a lot of our listeners, not so much.
That's a fair point. Well, hopefully we've given you a lot to think about. But with that in mind, we're going to leave it right there. As always, I'd like to thank you for spending some time with us here on Civic Cypher. Once again, I've been your host, Ramses Ja.
He is Ramses Ja. I am Q Ward, and we are thrilled, delighted, and so gracious and appreciative that you guys spend this time with us every week here on Civic Cypher.
Yeah, these conversations are rarely fun, but we feel like they're informative, and we feel like by sharing this data and these discussions will allow you to become a better ally, not only to Black and Brown people, but to other people who might need a friend, need some support. You know, we mentioned, you know, autistic people. That's something that feels very special. We just appreciate you tuning in every week. You can go back, of course, and listen to any articles that you want to check out. Just hit the website, civiccypher.com, and download the show. And also follow us on all social media at Civic Cypher. And until next week, y'all.
Peace.